Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
We're together again.
Together again. Together. I don't know what I'm singing.
But you are fucking cute. I'm Erin.
I'm Diana. Hey. And this is Fuck Shakespeare and Measure for Measure.
Yes. I love this play. Fuck, I know I say that every episode that we do this play, but I...
Yeah.
I love this play.
Yeah. It is chock full of wonderful, exciting stuff. And people don't realize that, you know? And
yeah.
They go, ooh, what's that one about? Or I've never even heard of that one, right. You know, a lot of times.
Yeah, well, it's not performed all that often, which is interesting to me because it's so full of fabulosity.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's
but I
great
think
comedy.
People are intimidated, you know, directors, actors, intimidated by this play. I do.
Why?
Erin's making a face. But remember, there's no camera.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think because there's too much sex, you know, like people, we're a Puritan nation.
But there's no, it's not like they're having sex on set, but like we did Spring Awakening, we did Hair. Like,
right.
What?
Yeah.
Come on. We did Doubt. We could name them off.
Yeah. Maybe because it's couched in Shakespearean language, so it's like not only is it sex, but it's also confusing. Like they don't know it all.
Oh, maybe.
Just listen here, and then you'll get some ideas.
I mean, people also don't really often do All's Well That Ends Well, but I don't think All's Well That Ends Well it even remotely compares to this play.
I know.
It's
this one's
less
so much more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bertram is such an icky asshole, right?
They're
but so
all
is the Duke.
I was going to
say, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, in All's Well That Ends Well, nobody is above reproach. I mean, they're all fucking icky.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them.
And Helena, what she's willing to do to, you know,
he doesn't
continue
what?
To
Look.
Be married. It's like, oh.
This is
so anyway,
a much better play.
Maybe we'll get to that at some point. But, you know, talk about problem play. That one is much more of a problem, I think, than this one. I mean, in a way.
This one has an actual story that you don't hate everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, cast of really fun characters.
Yeah.
Well, hate everybody. I mean, the fun characters for me are all of the really, you know, we would say sinful ones or whatever, you know, or what do we call them?
I don't know. They're the fun ones.
Yeah.
But you know, they're all fun. Literally, most of the characters in this play are just fun to play.
Yeah.
There's
yeah, so to stage this, do a production of it, is great fun because you're just having a ball in rehearsals and laughing your ass off all the time. All right, that's our recommendation anyway, as an overall. But this week, so last week we got into the Isabel and Angelo face-off, and this week we're going to have part two of that. But those two scenes are separated by this little tiny scene where we meet another character who we only going to see this one time. Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
The Lady Juliet. Aw. I mean, she's sort of the victim, right? The sad...
She's not interesting.
No.
In terms of the characters. No. Like I said, everyone's fun to play. She's not interesting.
Yeah. She's a foil.
She's a foil. Exactly.
She does get one bit of, you know, like standing up for her own position.
Yeah, but...
Being the bearer of the child,
dull.
You know? Yeah.
That's a dull part.
Yeah.
It has
but it's
to
only
happen,
a one-scene
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
It's only a one-scene part. Then the Duke is going to take her confession, and he sucks at it.
He is so gross. I mean, look, I always say there's no villains. You know, I don't really understand the Duke as a character. I mean, maybe by the end of the play, I'll have a little... Even though I've done this play, I don't understand him. I don't understand his motivations. I don't understand why he does the icky stuff he does. But the fact that he actually takes her confession is so gross to me. It's such a violation.
And we hear that sort of offstage, he's also done that with Mariana and, you know, a number of other people. So right.
It's such a violation. It really is.
It's really not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's akin to like.
Yes.
Like child pornography and stuff. Like, you know, you're in a position of somebody being the trusted person.
Yep.
And then you totally take advantage of that.
Yep.
That's just ugly.
It's ugly. It's horrifying. And I'm not really sure. I mean, it's a power play, obviously, on his part, because all kinds of assault and coercion are a power play, right? But I just don't get him. I'd have to live in him for a little while to see if I could
speak his words.
Yeah, and, understand him a little bit better, because I don't get him.
We'll see when we get. So we've only seen tiny bits of him actually up until now.
Yeah, but he has a lot of words.
Isabella
in this play.
And Angelo. Yes, he's a huge, huge part. I think right in there in line behind Richard III and stuff, which we need to do that one.
Oh, let's do that next.
Yeah.
Hee.
It's not particularly sexy, but it's very exciting.
Oh my God, it's so fun.
Yeah.
So, oh, it's a good segue from this to that, I think, because it's ugly in a delicious way. Yeah, in a delicious way.
Yeah. So we've gotten to set the stage with Isabella and Angelo much more than seeing the Duke. And coming up in Act 3, we will see a fuckload of the Duke, and maybe we'll get some more insight into him. But for now, Isabella and Angelo Part 2. And we're going to see the provost again, and I told you that I would look that up in terms of what the hell does provost mean more than the, you know, the official at the college and stuff. And the provost, it does say, is an official who is set over others, and in other, you know, it comes from various languages, Old Norse and different things, but it's also kin to the words preposterous and professed. So I was like, that's interesting. So like professed, like I've decided that I'm in charge over other people, maybe.
Also professor, and preposterous. Though, right?
Yeah, professor, yeah. Well, provost and professor
right.
in colleges.
But a provost is above a professor. Anyway, yes, but preposterous, I love.
That's interesting, right?
Like, yeah.
It's absurd to have that kind of control over other people, maybe.
Mm. Mm. Well, that's one of the things that this play is about.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool to have him as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Isabel and Angelo are going to face off again, and this time no Lucio and no provost in the room.
This means that they don't have to behave any way other than how they want the other to perceive them. There is no performative stuff except between the two of them.
Yeah. And no witnesses.
Mm-hmm. So whatever happens,
it's my word against yours.
And that comes up.
It does.
That comes up.
Yep.
You know, so...
Who will believe thee, Isabel? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to dislike Angelo, but, you know, when he says that line, God, I hate him.
But it's out of total shame, right?
Yeah.
He has been shamed by her. He's going to try to tell her... Well, we left him last time where he was in this quandary of he's not sure if he's in love. He doesn't understand. He doesn't recognize it, right?
And then he comes back to himself at the very end.
Yeah, but he's kind of going to lay his heart on the line for whatever that means to him, right? And then to have it stomped on and pissed upon is shame.
And we've talked about this before. We've talked about it in almost every play we've talked about so far. We started with Romeo and Juliet. We were talking about Tybalt and shame. And how shame is the thing that pushes characters to do the very worst.
Yeah. Something that they wouldn't normally do at all, you know? And it's just in a moment of fury, right? The blood is in their face and their brain is not working and they just make a decision that they will regret, because we'll see him regret it too later. Yeah. They started in that part one with really using each other's language back and forth, you know, taking the words that one of them said and turning them into their own meaning. You're going to see a lot more of that through this scene too. Just watch. It's this incredible sparring where they'll just like grab a word and throw it back like, you know, it's like a ball game of some kind of, you know, that's really fun. Slightly altering the meaning, slightly changing, you know, so that it suits their own purpose. And it's brilliant.
They are so intellectually well matched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's the question of, you know, he's trying, as I said, he's trying to sort of get around to saying, I love you. He's not sure what that means to him. And what is, as we read through, I'd like to hear your take on it too, and us discover what is Isabella really understanding of what he says, because the way that he says things is very obscure, and then the way that she answers is very literal with what he has said. So well, right. Is she fucking with him, or is she not quite understanding?
So when I played this, when you directed it, I chose to play the beginning part of it as not quite getting his meaning,
yeah,
but towards the end getting his meaning and
going, I gotcha, fucker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when she does get it, she gets it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it's disgusting to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she goes
repulsive.
For him.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So that part of the quality of their language, using words, and then they also, as we said before, share lines, mm-hmm. you know, throughout. So their rhythm is connected. But then in this one, you'll see that there's also big spots where there's silences. So is it the other character who's kind of taking a breath and trying to, okay, how do I say this, you know,
or,
kind of thing?
Or you know, I'm going to outsmart you, so I need to take a beat
to
figure out what dagger I'm pulling out of my pants this time.
Yeah, to really use the correct weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then at the end of the scene, they each get a giant, giant speech. And so we will see, it's each of their chances to sort of assess what has happened in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And Angelo, you know, he comes to this place where he's willing to stain his perfect reputation with an act that's really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just gone to the dark side. and then Isabella, she arrives at a place also of uncompromising sticking to her guns, which is also not going to be helpful.
Yeah, but also it's not, you know, it's really not a godly position.
No.
The godly position is mercy. The godly yeah. position is thou shalt not kill. The godly position is forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
And she is not acting in that modality at all. It's ego.
Yeah.
This is all ego for
it's
her.
It's really ego. And also, you know, this is one of those places that modern people have a really hard time with it, too. Because even me, my first reaction is like, oh, for goodness sake, you know, having sex one time is not the same as letting somebody die because that's the other option. Like, give me a break.
But just, even, you know, even in the world that we're inhabiting in this play.
Yeah.
Having sex once you were promised to one another was regular practice.
Yeah.
So it's not like she is very, I can't remember if it was Bloom or somebody else who talked about her neurotic attachment to purity.
Yeah.
And
moralism.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's not moral. That's the thing, right? It's abstinence at the expense of everything else. And I wonder, like we talked about in the first couple of episodes, like if she has this effect on men whenever she walks into a room or opens her mouth, you know, that maybe her attachment to purity is more about protecting her, you know, her sense of bodily autonomy than it is anything else, because the fact is a nun wouldn't make the choices she's making, because it's not mercy and it's not justice and it's not, you know, a nun would stand up for it, and she performatively does, but she, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of convincing to get her to say, well, then my brother's dead. So I feel like it's not neuroses, but it's like a trauma response in some ways.
Yeah. That's why I say the incest word is,
I agree with you.
You know?
I agree with you.
And
maybe the father, too.
I've met so many people that will fight me on that. And I'm like, dude, it can't be. It can't be that she has such a strong reaction to sex in general if something didn't happen that made her so upset and uncomfortable and traumatized that this is her reaction.
Right. Because, right? I mean, nuns, yes, would, you know, women often got put in a nunnery against their will when they had sex and, you know, out of wedlock, whatever. So you have to think about what a nunnery is like in these days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women there who are not particularly pious. They've just been sent there.
Yeah.
And then there are the pious ones, but the pious ones are following Christian teachings.
Yeah.
So Christian teachings are, you know, antithetical to the way Isabella behaves.
Yeah.
It's really about preserving her bodily
control of herself.
Yeah. 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 That's what it's about. And ego.
Yeah.
Well, so something happened to her.
Like we talked with that St. Clair, you know,
yes.
example.
Yes.
So if she's going in to the nunnery because of some prior trauma, that's a different reason than because I love Jesus and I, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. She doesn't particularly seem to love Jesus.
No, well, she's not listening to his teachings, as so many people nowadays are also listening.
Do you see how this is relevant?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a paper idea.
So, yeah. So let's, act two, scene three, we're going to meet Juliet and have the Duke take her unfortunate confession. But she's going to, in her very small way, kick his butt on this, so it's okay.
All right, so I'm provost.
Sure. And I'll be the Duke and you be Juliet.
Oh, okay.
All right. Enter Duke Vincentio disguised as a friar. Hail to you, provost. So I think you are.
Already off the bat.
He's right off the bat. He doesn't know how to be in character because he already greets someone that he has supposedly never met as a visiting friar, and he knows exactly who they are and what their title is. So it's like, you fucked up already. First speech out of the gate.
Provost, I am the provost. What's your will, good friar?
Bound by my charity and my blessed order, I come to visit the afflicted spirits here in the prison. Do me the common right to let me see them and to make me know the nature of their crimes, that I may minister to them accordingly.
Okay. A. Bound by my charity and my blessed order.
Yeah.
Bound.
Yes. Which is a, you know.
Yeah. Afflicted spirits.
Yeah, these poor, sad, tortured people. And also, the common right is the right of all persons in holy orders. So he's already claiming that, you know,
position.
Mm-hmm. But he's saying to tell me their crimes, which is, if you've ever heard anything about prison, I don't know if it's the same for back then, but nowadays, when you meet someone who has been incarcerated or is incarcerated, you don't ask them about that because that is setting them apart mm-hmm. as different and stigmatized. You need to, if you ever approach an incarcerated person or a formerly incarcerated person, do your best to speak to them as a regular person.
Just like you would do with someone who has cancer or someone who...
Yeah.
You just treat them like human beings. Like that's like that's the best rule of all for any situation. Just treat people like human beings.
So in any case, if he's asking about their crimes, then he's going to treat them as that particular criminal.
Exactly.
Which is not okay.
And the provost. I would do more than that if more were needful. Look, here comes one. A gentlewoman of mine, who, falling in the flaws of her own youth, hath blistered her report. She is with child, and he that got it sentenced, a young man, more fit to do another such offense than die for this.
When must he die?
As I do think, tomorrow. I have provided for you. Stay a while, and you shall be conducted.
Okay. So here comes one.
Mm-hmm. Here comes one of my prisoners.
And falling in the flaws of her youth, the flaws is like the sudden passions, the sudden gusts, has ruined her reputation.
Mm-hmm. Report being reputation.
Yeah, report, yeah. Those sudden gusts, we're going to visit that again, and we talked a little bit about Dante, but in Dante's second circle of hell, where the lustful are punished, they are blown past each other with gusts of wind.
Right. Like in a tornado, right? They can never touch.
Right. They can never touch, but they can glimpse each other for a second, and that's their torture. Hmm. So gusts, I don't think it's an accident, because Claudio is really going to elaborate on that, actually.
That's a paper idea, too. Yeah. The Dante's circles of hell in Measure for Measure.
Yeah, particularly the second circle, the lustful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to narrow it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Ooh, let's do that one as a TikTok.
Okay.
Okay. And then the provost's last two lines. I have provided for you, stay a while. You shall be conducted. Editors put in, this is to Juliet.
Why?
But how would it be if it was to the friar? I mean, it could also be to the friar.
Why? What?
Stay a while. You shall be conducted. I'll help you out after.
Yeah.
So I think that's a choice. Actors, directors, you can make your own choice.
Right. Editors suck at
us. Fuck editors. Sorry.
We love you, editors. Yeah. We love you when you do a good job.
Yeah, but
like
not,
when I'm reading a novel.
Not
like,
when you take over.
Yeah. It's not your job to be the author. I know you know that, good editors. We literary lovers are so impressed by people who are great editors.
Yes.
Yes. But, you know.
But I think with Shakespeare, people take liberties because they can't ask him. They right. can't. He's not around to say, did you really mean that or what, you know?
Yeah. Interpretation.
Yeah.
But that should be up to the director of the particular project.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So the Duke's now speaking to Juliet. Repent you, fair one, of the sin you carry?
Juliet, I do, and bear the shame most patiently.
So already he was like, repent, you're shameful, you're sinful, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll teach you how you shall arraign your conscience and try your penitence, if it be sound or hollowly put on.
I'll gladly learn.
So arraign, try, very interesting legal language, right?
Yeah.
Which is where he's comfortable, mm-hmm. the language of the law. And he's saying, or hollowly put on. So is your penitence, is your repentance truthful, real, genuine, or is it fake just so that you can get something, get a pardon?
Well, that's how he functions.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 mini soapbox, ooh. Politicians, they think something in their head and then they ascribe that same something to everybody else. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think it's okay to lie in this circumstance. Therefore, you must think it's okay to lie in that circumstance because I think it.
Therefore, I can't trust you.
Right.
Which sets up this circle of mistrust, which is terrible.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
See, that was fast.
Let's see if your sentence, if your repentance is real or fake.
I'll gladly learn.
Love you, the man that wronged you?
Yes. As I love the woman that wronged him. She says that's very clever,
see,
right?
I think she's not so stupid.
No, I didn't think she was stupid, but I just don't think she's much of a character.
Right, but I think she does get to have her say here in a very small way. Because she's like, we are equal in this.
Stupid. I did it too.
I did it too. Hello, belly.
But that's interesting too. The fact that the Duke is coming from, and this is an interesting thing to discuss. We, in our current way of thinking about the world, often ascribe blame to the man for using his power against the woman because there's a power dynamic that is unequal. Mm-hmm. And so we often will blame the man. But in fact, if it's consensual, which it is there, yeah. This is a very consensual thing, then it is neither his nor her fault.
Yeah.
It's only when someone coerces or uses their power but the Duke is coming from that viewpoint. Well, men use their power to take advantage of women.
Because that's his understanding.
Because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And we see that at the end of the play, but spoiler.
And Juliet's like, not here, not in this instance.
Right.
Yeah. So Duke, he's a little confused. So then it seems your most offenseful act was mutually committed?
Mutually.
Then was your sin of heavier kind than his?
Now that's hilarious. You're supposed to protect your chastity, but you didn't.
Yeah, but you didn't.
You willfully, gave it up.
There's also a little pun there, heavier, because she's carrying the child.
I do confess it and repent it, Father.
'Tis meet so, daughter. But lest you do repent, as that the sin hath brought you to this shame, which sorrow is always towards ourselves, not heaven, showing we would not spare heaven as we love it, but as we stand in fear.
I do repent me, as it is an evil, and take the shame with joy.
Yeah, I love that she cuts him off.
She
She's
does.
Like, stop.
But, like, right, so let's, yeah. The sin that has brought you to this shame, which sorrow is always towards ourselves, not heaven.
Yeah, so he's saying we say we're sorry, but it's really we're sorry that we got ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, we're sorry we got caught.
We're not sorry to God for going against his law. That's what he's saying.
Right.
And she's like, you know what? Shut up. Shut up.
I shouldn't have done it. It's wrong.
I understand,
but I still love him, and I'm still glad to be carrying his baby.
Yeah. There rest. Your partner, as I hear, must die tomorrow, and I am going with instruction to him. Grace go with you. Benedicite.
Must die tomorrow.
Yeah, and he exits on this.
Yeah.
He drops this bomb.
He does this all the time, though.
Yeah.
He does this all the time to people.
Motherfucker. And notice, Benedicite, you'll see him say this a lot. It's like he learned one word of friar speak. and he goes with it.
Friar speak.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
He's like, give me that brown robe, and what do you guys say? Oh, okay, Benedicite, got it. It means bless you in Latin.
Must die tomorrow. Oh, injurious love that respites or respites?
Respites, yeah, I think.
That respites me a life whose very comfort is still a dying horror.
And the provost just fills her line. That's all he does.
'Tis pity of him.
Yeah. Of who?
Claudio.
Yeah. Guess so. Injurious love, both the sex that they have and also the evidence of their love, which is the baby, because the baby respites her life. That means it spares her life. They're not going to kill her because she's pregnant and because she's a mother, but that
the comfort
the
of
fact
that
she gets to live and Claudio has to die is horror.
Horror. Yeah,
forever. She either has to live without Claudio or without the baby. They're going to take the baby away, which is terrible. So sad. So she's really the tragical character in this way.
Yeah, she's the innocent, tragic character.
Yeah.
Nobody else is.
No. But we get to see that because Claudio's a little more complex.
Yeah.
And there's some other things going on with him why we might not think him completely the innocent character.
But
here,
I would say that they are in love.
Yeah.
But she's Juliet, not been.
Juliet is definitely the only one who. Since that's all the information we have about her, we can make some kind of assumption that she is much more the victim than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All righty. So we just had that little interruption so that we know that some time passes between the first Isabella and Angelo scene and the second one. So here we have Angelo, and he's had overnight to think about this, and here he comes. When I would pray and think, I think and pray to several subjects. Heaven hath my empty words, whilst my invention, hearing not my tongue, anchors on Isabel. Heaven in my mouth, as if I did but only chew his name, and in my heart the strong and swelling evil of my conception.
Swelling and conception.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. We end with that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So when I love this back and forth because pray and think was the two things that they were bandying back and forth last time, right? Pray you be gone. Yeah.
Mm.
Like go say your prayers. So as I've been ruminating, I've tried focusing on several means separate subjects and heaven, which is God. Yeah. God is hearing my empty words. My prayers are meaningless. And then we have invention, which is imagination. So my imagination, not listening to my prayers, is just full of Isabel. Hmm. Full of Isabella.
Heaven in my mouth.
I love that.
That's pretty sexy.
Right? It's part of the next thought, but the fact that it's attached to anchors on Isabel, heaven in my mouth. Is he dreaming of going down on her?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then we have the word chew, mm-hmm. right? As if I did only chew his name. So he's speaking God's name, but it's empty. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to him because his heart, his penis is full of conception of Isabel.
Swelling.
Yeah, swelling. Yeah. And so we have the caesura, the midline period. So, but his thought goes right into the next thing. So he's trying to fill his brain with the law because the next thing he says is the state, meaning the law, okay? The state whereon I studied is like a good thing, being often read, grown sere and tedious. Yea, my gravity, wherein, let no man hear me, I take pride. Could I with boot change for an idle plume, which the air beats for vain? So seer is dried up and boring. The law is
right.
Boring.
So, yeah, but because I've read it so often, it's like a good book. When you read a good book, but you read it so often that you know the ending, you know the words, it loses its beauty.
Yeah, that power that it first had upon you. And my gravity is my dignified place. He takes pride in, he says so, right? But he's like, don't let anybody hear me say that because pride is a sin. But he's like, I could, with boot is advantage. Like, I could just change it for something else. A plume, which is interesting. It's either a writing implement or it also is a feather in your cap. Could he exchange his place with someone more frivolous?
Oh, interesting. I was thinking that was sort of Shakespeare, you know.
Putting himself in.
Making fun of
some
himself.
Some frivolous writer guy.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah. It could be, you know, Angelo is, I imagine, very severely dressed, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have any ornamentation. So
no.
A plume is
what
really...
What would happen if I led a different life? Someone who wears feathers in their hat. Someone who uses feathers as writing poems mm-hmm. and such. So he's imagining himself there. As an alternative thing. O place, O form, how often dost thou with thy case, thy habit, wrench awe from fools and tie the wiser souls to thy false seeming. Blood, thou art blood. Let's write good angel on the devil's horn. 'Tis not the devil's crest.
Well, so that's interesting. Writing, going back to the, going back to the
writing,
poem.
Writing, yeah. So place and form, that's the his rank, his dignity. Oh, and we didn't even say which the air beats for vain. Vain is vanity. So people who wear feathers and ornamentation, there's vanity. But we also have the weather vain, the switching direction
mm-hmm.
for him. Yeah. And then place and form. And so this is a good argument, an interesting argument that's also made by Henry V, that's also, you know, made a lot of times in Shakespeare, is people's dress. Well, and Isabella made it too with the crown
sure
and
did.
The deputed sword,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How, whatever you put on your outside, people make assumptions about you then.
Mm-hmm.
Thy case, thy habit, these are his exterior dressings, how I encase myself. But I love the word habit,
right.
Bit of a pun on the nun's garments. But it wrench awe from fools. That means they immediately assume that you have more power and control than perhaps you do inside.
Or wisdom or piety
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they don't bother to look past the the clothing
yeah.
to the person inside.
So fools experience awe, and even wiser people fall for your outside picture, your false seeming. Yeah. But he's even calling his picture false because he's starting to understand that it doesn't matter what he clothes himself in. That
he still has those desires.
That he still has those desires. Mm-hmm. And he still wants sin. And he wants to be partly that other person. And he can't reconcile himself to being both. Negative capability. Allowing all the things. And then we have that buzzword blood for this play. Blood, thou art blood. We can't do anything about what our insides are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's write good angel. So even if we inscribe the devil's horns with a different label, he's still the devil. We can't dress him up. And here comes a servant. How now? Who's there? Not, and it's almost like he's, oh shit, somebody heard me.
Right. One Isabella sister desires access to you.
Love the word desires. Even the servant is playing into his fantasies. And then Angelo, teach her the way. Oh, heaven. I like teach her the way, not bring her in.
Right.
Tell her how to get here.
Right.
Don't come with her.
Right. Yeah. Oh, but there's, wait, but there's also something about teach, the word teach, you know, it made me think of like, you know, here's this pure thing. We're going to teach her how not to be pure. Mm. I don't know. That's what popped into my head. Yep. Go ahead.
We have the word blood again. Oh, heavens. Why does my blood thus muster to my heart, making both it unable for itself and dispossessing all my other parts of necessary fitness? And there's some silence there of his own. So why is my blood gathering in my heart? You know, like his heart is pounding. And it's making not only his heart unable to calm him, but his other parts, all of his other parts, are dispossessed of their usual function, right? Like, so penis, lie down!
Yeah, right. I'm not peeing with my penis.
Yeah. And then of necessary fitness. There's three beats of silence for him to breathe, maybe. And then he's going to liken what's happening in his body to what happens to people outside. So play the foolish throngs with one that swoons, come all to help him, and so stop the air by which he should revive. And even so, the general, subject to a well-wished king, quit their own part, and in obsequious fondness crowd to his presence, where their untaught love must needs appear offense.
So when someone faints, everybody rushes around them and crowds out the air which the person needs to come back from the faint.
Yeah.
Everybody's bending over them, sucking up all the air.
Yeah. And then people crowding around a celebrity, in this case a king. This was apparently something that did happen to James I. He came back from a trip, and it was the trip where the boats sank, and I don't know if you heard about us when we did Mackers. And we talked about James going out to fetch his wife from the Netherlands and how half of his fleet sank. And when he came back, he was so crowded by all the people. Oh, my God, our king is back. And are you okay? That he passed out and he had to be carried into the, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a reference to that kind of idea where, you know, everything's rushing in and doing more harm than good.
Right.
So here she comes. And how now, fair maid?
I am come to know your pleasure. She knows just what she's doing.
Oh, ending with that word. Mm-hmm. But that's fascinating because she didn't hear Angelo's first entrance to the Duke, and that was his very first line.
Yeah. They reflect each other throughout the entire play.
Throughout the play. Mm-hmm. That you might know it would much better please me than to demand what 'tis. Your brother cannot live.
Even so. Heaven keep your honor.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, well,
bye.
That's what I expected.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I hope you know what you're doing.
Yep.
But he uses the word pleasure and turns it into please me.
Yes, please me, that you might know my pleasure.
Would be much so much fucking easier.
Yeah, yeah.
If I could just, you know, if you were a whore, you would have known it immediately.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't ask for it. It's too hard. It's too hard. And so she's like, okay. And she's leaving the room. And he's like, yet may he live a while, and it may be as long as you or I, yet he must die.
Under your sentence.
Yea.
When, I beseech you, that in his reprieve, longer or shorter, he may be so fitted that his soul sicken not. So in other words, okay. He says he could live for a little while. But he must die. And she's like, and you're going to be the person who says it. And then he says yes. And she's like, so, like, we have time to fix his soul for death. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we talked about that in the last scene between the two of them.
Yeah. And this is how he answered. Ha. Fie these filthy vices. It were as good to pardon him that hath from nature stolen a man already made as to remit their saucy sweetness that do coin heaven's image in stamps that are forbid.
Jesus Christ. That's like dangling, pulling back. Torture.
So when you say he's a sadist, here's some of his sadism is coming out. But he's also wrestling with, how do I get the message across that maybe she and I could be together? Because, okay, so.
She just sat forward. She's fair. This,
yeah.
Soapbox, perhaps. Go ahead.
Well, it's that case of, we always have to remember that things are not premeditated. Okay, so we heard Angelo's premeditation. It didn't include anything about, hey, I know, I'll ask Isabel to sleep with me to save her brother's life. that's not what he's thinking yet. So for him to be saying all this stuff is not only sadism, but it's also wavering. He doesn't know what he wants to ask for. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, fie these filthy, fuck. And I love fie these filthy vices because that could be himself, yes. Right? Yeah. Me and my fucking things. But Isabel takes it to mean Claudio mm-hmm. and his vices. And then he says, you know, it would be just as bad to pardon a murderer, someone who stole a man that was already made, stole a human, as to pardon someone who's making a new human without permission.
Saucy sweetness.
Juicy, nom, nom.
But also,
saucy, baby. Yeah, so their saucy sweetness is, you know, they're fucking and impertinent saucy. And then we have this image again of coining coins, like making coins, coining heaven's image, God's image, right? God made men in his image, supposedly, right? In stamps that are forbid. So they're counterfeiting babies are not supposed to be here.
Yep.
So, and then he elaborates again. 'Tis all as easy falsely to take away a life true made as to put metal in restrained means to make a false one.
Metal,
like M-E-T-T-L-E, like power, to put lifeblood into, to take away a life true made, so killing someone who's already...
parents were...
Yep.
Mm-hmm. ...were married and the person's already grown.
As to falsely pardon someone, he's saying to allow power in a restrained, in a place, you know, that's not allowed. So as to say, I could pardon him if... So he's working through all of this stuff, like, how can I exchange this man's life for something else?
But also, it's so interesting because, you know, falsely to take away a life true made, Claudio is a life true made. His parents were married. He was baptized in the church.
Yeah, he's a nobleman.
You know, he's a life true made. So the argument that he's having in his head is multifaceted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So layered. And I think that he's really struggling through this out loud with us. Mm. Okay? That's why it's so confusing, I think, also, because it's confusing to him. And it's confusing to Isabella, obviously. Right. She's like, what?
And Isabella says, 'tis set down so in heaven, but not in earth.
So that's God's mm-hmm. law, but not ours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And he seizes on this. Say you so. Then I shall pose you quickly. Which had you rather, that the most just law now took your brother's life, or, to redeem him, give up your body to such sweet uncleanness as she that he hath stained?
Sir, believe this. I had rather give my body than my soul.
Talk not of your soul.
Right.
It's like, oh, good.
But this is interesting, because he makes up his mind right there.
Yes, but... right there. Not before. Right there. This idea comes to him. And he's like, oh, okay.
Let's use your argument against you here.
Yeah.
And you know.
So we're separating God's law and human law.
Right.
Let's see it.
She started it.
Yeah.
She began it. 'Tis set down so in heaven, but not on, you know, not on earth.
So it's almost like she gave him a window.
Mm-hmm.
Opened it up. And so he's like, okay, so let's do a little trade. But he doesn't say let's yet. He's like, if...
It's philosophical argument here.
Yeah.
Right. Which is like, what's the game that people play? Kiss, kill...
Yeah. Marry, kill...
Yeah, right. That's what he's playing
whatever.
With her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, yeah. Would you do Juliet's sin to save your brother's life?
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically.
Right.
Right? And then she's like, yeah, I'd rather give up my body than my soul. And he's like, oh, good. I love this. I talk not of your soul. Our compelled sins stand more for number than for a compt. So compelled sins are the ones that we were forced to do, right? So if a woman is raped, that's not her sin. That's it, like when she comes face to face with St. Peter at the pearly gates, that's not her sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like, yeah, something bad happened, but you don't have to pay for that one. So that's what he means by a compt, your account. It's written down, but it's not on your account. It's on someone else's account.
It's in someone else's ledger.
Yeah.
Fucking Christians. Yeah. Sorry. Isabella, how say you?
Nay, I'll not warrant that, for I can speak against the thing I say. So he's like, is that true? No, maybe not, because I can lie about, you know, I don't necessarily believe it. I was just testing you. answer to this. I, now the voice of the recorded law, pronounce a sentence on your brother's life. Might there not be a charity in sin to save this brother's life?
Please you to do it. Right, it's up to you, bucko.
Yeah, if you're willing.
Yeah.
If you're willing to make this bit of sin, little bit of sin.
Yeah.
But I love the antithesis of charity and sin next to each other.
Yeah,
wow.
Right. Might there not be a charity in sin? But she is willfully.
You nuns do the charity thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's willfully not really participating in the conversation yet.
A little obtuse. Yeah.
I think she knows damn well what he's saying because this is her experience of men her whole life.
Yeah.
This is nothing new for her. But anyway, please.
So, but she's turning it to him. Like, yeah. Okay, if you're willing to do it.
Yeah.
Great.
You go ahead, sin. You go ahead.
Yeah.
Please you to do it. I'll take it as a peril to my soul. It is no sin at all, but charity. So she's saying, put it on my account.
Yeah.
You do the sin. Put it on my account.
Peril to my soul. Like, I could just take it for you.
Yeah. It's no sin because it's charity.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, go ahead.
She used his two words and she flipped them.
Yep.
And then he's like, no. Pleased you to do it at peril of your soul were equal poise of sin and charity. So she had pleased you to do it. He has pleased you to do it if you were willing to take this on. Against your soul, peril to your soul, were equal poise. He's got this word poise, peril, you know, balanced against each other. Poise, weighing out. They would cancel each other. He's saying the sin and the charity would cancel each other. You'd be clean.
Mm-hmm. And Isabella, that I do beg his life, if it be sin, heaven let me bear it. You, granting of my suit, if that be sin, I'll make it my morn prayer to have it added to the faults of mine and nothing of your answer.
So far she thinks the sin is just him doing something which he should not be allowed to do according to the book of law, I think. I don't think she's gone to the bed trick
yet.
Thing yet.
But she does.
But she does understand that he's contemplating doing something.
She knows he's talking about more than, because it's not necessarily, she said as much early on, it's not what's considered against the law is not necessarily a sin in heaven.
Right. The same as against God's law.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think she's like,
yeah,
you know, you're playing a game here with, words,
your semantics.
Semantics. Thank you. I was like, syntax? No, that's not the right word.
No.
She definitely is.
She's just trying to figure out the game at this point.
Yeah, but she's on to. He is behaving like every man has behaved toward her.
Yeah.
That's it. And she knows it.
She just doesn't know what the factors of the game are quite yet, but she knows it's a game.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay. You put it on my account, it'll be fine. You're not going to answer for it. I will answer for it. And Angela's like, no, you're not understanding. Nay, but hear me. Your sense pursues not mine. Either you are ignorant or seem so craftily, and that's not good. It's like, wait a minute, you're fucking with me. What the hell? So your sense, right, your understanding, but it's also, are we beating on the same level here, right? Mm-hmm. And either you're just playing stupid or you are stupid,
which is nasty.
Neither one is good.
It's nasty what he says to her. And she says, let me be ignorant and in nothing good, but graciously to know I am no better.
So, okay, let's say that I am ignorant, but by God's grace, I am what I am. This is who I am. I'm playing it straight. What are you doing? But she's not playing it straight.
No, of course
either.
Not. Yeah. She again is trying to appear to him a certain way.
Yeah. Thus wisdom wishes to appear most bright when it attacks itself, as these black masks proclaim an enshield beauty 10 times louder than beauty could displayed. But mark me, to be received plain, I'll speak more gross. Your brother is to die.
So.
So. She's like, yeah. Yep. Okay. So, this is really interesting. Those black masks. So, it's the clothing that she's wearing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's her habit.
And he's saying, wisdom is cloaking itself to appear more bright. Like, you're fucking with me, playing with me so that I'll understand that you're smarter than I am, actually. Not ignorant, as you claim to be. Just the way the things that you're wearing, the black masks, proclaim, right, signal an end shield, a shielded beauty. Whatever's underneath those things is really going to be amazing. He's imagining what she looks like naked.
But, and this is exactly what we were talking about. He says a whore could not get me hard.
Yeah.
But imagining?
None clothes?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Right?
And so he's, like, getting to the point,
and
so to
be received, which is a very
yeah.
sexual way of saying
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Because women receive.
Yes. I'll speak more gross, more bluntly, but also gross is large.
Mm, yes.
Enlarged, yeah? Your brother is to die. So let's speak plainly,
yes.
Okay?
And she says, so.
And he grabs that word. And his offense is, so, as it appears, accountant to the law upon that pain.
True.
So accountant, we were talking about accounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
His account is that he's got this stain, and the pain, the penalty, is that he has to die. Right?
And she says, true.
Admit no other way to save his life, as I subscribe not that nor any other, but in the loss of question, that you, his sister, finding yourself desired of such a person, whose credit with the judge or own great place, could fetch your brother from the manacles of the all-binding law, and that there were no earthly mean to save him, but that either you must lay down the treasures of your body to this supposed, or else to let him suffer. What would you do? Oh. And then there's 6 beats of silence. And Isabella's like,
I don't know if she's like,
no.
I think she is.
She's letting it sit.
Yep.
She's like,
building,
did you just hear yourself?
Yeah. She's
what
building
did you just say?
Her argument. She is taking his words, and like a lawyer, she is crafting her argument.
Response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, admit no other way. We've already established there's no other way to save his life, okay? Except what I'm about to say, yeah? As I subscribe, not that. I'm proposing not that. There's no other way, okay? So, for the sake of argument, let's say that you were desired by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Some person who could put in a word with the judge, credit with the judge, reputation with the judge, or his own great, or his own personal reputation, could free your brother from the, we have binding, tying up, tying
and
up.
Manacles.
Mm-hmm. And that there was no earthly, there's no way on earth, unless God intervenes, to save him. Would you lay down the treasures of your body, right, to this somebody? I love that. Or else to let him suffer, not defining the him. The him could be the person who made the proposal.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
Who is already suffering because he doesn't know how to say something. He just said he was going to speak bluntly. He didn't really.
No, he didn't at all.
No.
No. And he says, what would you do? And she thinks, as much for my poor brother as myself. That is, were I under the terms of death, the impression of keen whips I'd wear as rubies, and strip myself to death as to a bed that longing have been sick for, ere I'd yield my body up to shame.
Then must your brother die.
So, I mean, like, she's in the S&M.
Yeah. She's playing right into that game.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. So, if it was me,
right.
Right?
Right. This is her crafted argument. Yeah. I would do the same.
You said, so, hypothetically, if it was me. So hypothetically, if it was me, I would let them whip me.
Yep.
But
as I'd wear rubies, I would sport my lashes.
Yeah.
And strip
my
myself.
Drops of blood all down me as if they were rubies, right?
Yes, and strip myself to death, which is interesting imagery because strips of flesh that happen from flaying, but also strip as in taking off your clothing. Yeah.
Strip myself to death, right? Yeah. Get naked and have an orgasm.
Yes.
That longing, like I was wishing for this forever, almost to the point of illness. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
As easily, but it's also the other layer of that line, that longing have been sick for, that it's as if I was just getting into a bed that I was wishing to be in forever. Mm-hmm. Before I'd yield my body up to shame. And her last word?
Shame, shame, shame,
shame, shame. Shame. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, oh well, brother's got to die then, because you rejected my hypothetical proposal.
And that's a plus two.
Yeah, then must your brother die.
And Isabella, and 'twere the cheaper way. Better it were a brother died at once than that a sister by redeeming him should die forever.
So there were 4 beats of silence in the line, and 'twere the cheaper way. And then there's 5 beats of silence after should die forever.
And it's funny because yes, she's couching it in if I were to fuck you, or if I were to
somebody,
you know, then
yeah, I don't think she's gotten
she
it
hasn't
that
it's gotten the there
you
yet. Yeah, but if I were to do that thing, I would be a sinner. But here's the thing about her that I don't think he grasps. She is going to protect her shell of a body at all costs, and it has nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with God.
And her brother is not a good enough carrot to dangle in front of her.
That's right.
Yeah. To mix metaphors.
I knew what you meant.
So better it was a brother die. Yeah. He's going to only die once, but if I did this thing, I would be dying over and over in my brain in hell. Being whipped in hell. But she just said she would be whipped.
Yes.
So, like, I don't know. And Angelo's confused too. He's like, it's such a little thing. Like, I don't understand. Right? So he asks, were you not then as cruel as the sentence that you have slandered so? So you've spoken against this. But it's also my sentence. My sentence of putting Claudio to death. Like, seems that your sentence is just as bad.
Right, because you're condemning him to death too.
Yeah.
In this scenario.
Hypothetical scenario. Yeah. Oh, and then including on, she's going to one up on the shame because ignominy is public shame and disgrace.
Right. Ignominy in ransom and free pardon are of 2 houses. Lawful mercy is nothing kin to foul redemption.
Yeah. So, public shame. So this act of having sex with somebody in order to exchange, she's thinking of it as public. She thinks it's going to get around, everybody will know, and she will be forever shamed. So that's what she means, ignominy and ransom. Her ransom will turn into a horrible thing for her, public shame. And free pardon, right? You just saying, okay, I'll let him go. Those are very different things. Mm-mm. They are, right? Lawful mercy or foul redemption.
Nice antithesis.
Right? Yeah, beautiful. Angelo, you seemed of late to make the law a tyrant and rather proved the sliding of your brother a merriment than a vice.
Sliding.
Yeah, he was like, yesterday you said it's a little thing and just pardon him. And today you're like, this little thing that was asked of you is now suddenly a gigantic, crazy crime.
Mm-hmm.
And make up your mind.
And she says, oh, pardon me, my lord. It oft falls out to have what we would have. We speak not what we mean.
Yeah, I like sliding and falls out.
Yeah.
So it's a very sexual term.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But she's like, I was trying to make a case for Claudio, and I said might have said things that I didn't really actually think.
Or that I thought in terms of him, but not in terms of me.
Yeah, well, you either think it or you don't.
Well, but equivocation.
Yeah.
I something do excuse the thing I hate for his advantage that I dearly love.
Yeah.
So
lovely antithesis.
I excuse his behavior because I love him.
But not for me.
Yeah.
And Angelo, we are all frail.
Else let my brother die. If not a federary. A federary. Oh, geez. If not a federary.
It's like that Scottish guy on Instagram trying to say shit.
If not a federy, but only he, oh, and succeed thy weakness.
So Angelo says we're frail. We all have our moments of weakness, and I'm trying to tell you mine, but I can't seem to get it out. Mm-hmm. And she's like, never mind. Mm-hmm. Just away with Claudio.
We're done.
If not a federy, if federy is one who's guilty of the same offense. So just, okay, just do that, because otherwise I would be guilty of the same offense.
Right.
Right? Oh, and succeed thy weakness. Possess and hold by succession. So it's really interesting. So we could hear a couple of different things there, right? Hold on to your weakest part. Right? To your dick. Or take what you want and you will secure your succession, your lineage. So Angelo could hear it in one of two different ways also. And, nay, women are frail too.
The highest the glasses where they view themselves, which are as easy broke as they make forms. Women? Help heaven. Men their creation mar in profiting by them. Nay, call us 10 times frail, for we are soft as our complexions are, and credulous to false prints.
Yeah. So cool. Women are frail. Yeah, just like the mirrors that they look at themselves in, right? So it's almost like the image that you see is not real. Mm-hmm. What you're looking at is not real. Yeah? The image is as easily shattered as the mirror. And then men their creation mar and profiting by. Men ruin women's power to create because they profit from those creations, right? So women have this marvelous power to bring forth life, and men abuse them by using that against them.
To control them.
All the time.
Right. And also, we've talked about this before, and I think this is a crux of who she is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, men have subjugated women ever since they realized that women weren't completely responsible for the creation of children.
Yeah,
when men figured out that they had a role in conception, they began to subjugate women. And it's been that way ever since. It isn't just sexual and procreation that she's talking about. I think it's all of it. All of it.
Yeah.
Right? Women can't own property. Women can't inherit. Women can't, you know, I think it's all those things.
Yeah.
But the marring is definitely the ruining.
Ruining. You ruined our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you exploit children. You exploit women. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are soft as our complexions, our constitutions, as well as faces, and credulous, impressionable, right? There's that coining imagery again, returning from all of the scenes that they have been involved in.
Yeah, you make us into what you want us to be.
You impose whatever image onto our faces that you see. And we can't seem to get around that.
Right. We are who we are internally, but you will have us be what you want us to be.
And then the image comes crashing down, and then you blame us.
Yeah, right. Then it's our fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you made that. You know. And Angelo takes her words as a go-ahead. I think it well. And from this testimony.
And I'm just going to stop you for a second because his go-ahead is that she's saying, you ruin us. And he's like, right, I'm going to ruin you. I think we're good.
Yeah. Like now that, yeah, you understand.
You get it now.
You understand the way the world works. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So, I think it well. And from this testimony of your own sex, since I suppose we are made to be no stronger than faults may shake our frames, let me be bold. I do arrest your words. Be that you are. That is, a woman. If you be more, you are none. If you be one, as you are well expressed by all external warrants, show it now by putting on the destined livery.
Blech.
Oh, my right? God. But that's where he goes to the dark side.
Arrest your words.
Yeah,
so
legal
great.
Language, right? I am grabbing up what you said, but arrest is, like, he might as well arrest her and
right.
throw her in jail.
And pin her down, right?
Yeah.
Pin her down. And the destined livery is naked with your legs in the air.
Yeah. This is what women are destined for.
It's what they're made for.
Yeah. Yeah. To be whores. Just, livery is garments, right? Lord, no garments.
Yeah, right. I think that's what he's saying. If you are a woman... You know, because, you know, looking at you, you seem to be.
Yeah.
Show me. Put your legs in the air.
But I like if you be more, you're none.
Mm-hmm.
If you are more than a woman, then you're not a woman.
That's a very Aristotle argument.
What the hell? And if you are a woman, as seems by your outside, then do this thing.
Yeah. And Isabella.
Now she's starting. Now she's like, uh-uh. Okay, now it's laid out on the table. I'm gonna, no.
I have no tongue but one. Gentle, my lord. Let me entreat you, speak the former language. Stop talking like that.
Yeah.
Go back to how we were talking before.
Yeah, that was fun and it was exciting and
this
now
has
it's
gone
not.
Too far.
Now it's gone too
now
far.
I think she's afraid he's gonna attack her.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I think she's... Because, again, what's her experience?
And she suddenly realizes she's alone in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, plainly conceive, I love you. Pregnancy language. Throughout this play, there's a paper idea. Pregnancy language in Measure for Measure.
Yeah, right.
You know? But also, I'm interested in the word entreat. Like, so does she kneel? Because that's their power, nuns, right? Kneeling, praying.
Hmm. Yes,
maybe.
Could be. She could,
maybe.
Yeah. But I'm not sure under this set of circumstances she would put herself in that vulnerable a position because all he would need to do is knock her over and she'd be flat on her back.
Yeah. But it is her sort of superpower.
Yeah. Well, not to him, apparently.
Yeah.
Right.
But then he takes a risk with this words, right?
He does.
I love you. So it's almost like he's putting his heart out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So he's confused,
and
I think, about
awkward.
What... And so awkward. But he's very also confused about his own feelings.
Yeah.
He doesn't recognize this feeling, and so he calls it love, right?
Yeah, but how... How many of us have made that mistake, mistaking
sure,
lust for
oh,
love?
Oh, I love you, right? Yeah.
No. Right. And how many times have people used the word love to get other people in their bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very... Yeah, and she's going to seize on that word and go, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Right. My brother did love Juliet, and you tell me that he shall die for it.
Yeah. So in my mind, love and death are equated right now. You said that was bad. He shall not, Isabel, if you give me love.
I know your virtue hath a license in it, which seems a little fouler than it is to pluck on others.
Good. License is an allowed freedom, but it's also licentious.
Yeah.
So she's like, I know that you are allowed to say certain things.
Because of your position.
Because of your position. It looks a little ugly what you're saying. And maybe you're trying to fool me into saying something and entrap me?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, no. Believe me, on mine honor, my words express my purpose.
Little honor to be much believed and most pernicious purpose. Seeming. Seeming. I will proclaim thee, Angelo. Look for it. Sign me a present pardon for my brother, or with an outstretched throat, I'll tell the world aloud what man thou art. She thinks she has him.
She thinks she has him, and boy, she's taking a big risk there. Mm. So, believe me on mine honor, that's a +2 line. He jumps in to say, no, no, really.
And I mean it.
She fucking stomps him, right? My purpose is my true intent. And she uses the P words and just slays him with it. Pernicious, purpose, proclaim, present, pardon. Just boom, boom, boom.
And also seeming.
Yeah.
Seeming. You.
Your appearance. I see right through you,
exactly.
You little fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell the whole world about you.
Yeah. I'm going to expose you.
If you don't pardon my brother.
Yeah.
You've played your hand.
Give me a piece of paper right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this. Outstretched throat. I will scream, right?
Yep.
Scream about who you are. And then they have a shared line. She says, I'll tell the world aloud what man thou art. Who will believe thee, Isabel? So it depends on if he says Isabel. It's just one extra syllable, or Isabel. Two extra syllables. But it's her name that makes the extra syllables. And he's like, who's going to fucking believe you, bitch?
Yeah.
So he's like, that's your answer? Okay.
Here you go.
My unsoiled name, the austereness of my life, my vouch against you, and my place in the state will sow your accusation overway that you shall stifle in your own report and smell of calumny. He's like, yeah, bitch,
I
will take you on.
You overplayed your hand,
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah. So in this speech, notice all the long I words, okay? We've got my, I. Just see where they are, because there's tons of them. So he's all like, it's all about me now. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. It's not about us.
But also, The Isabel being a +2, and then his unsoiled name, like Isabel soiled.
Yeah.
My unsoiled.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unsoiled.
Me, clean. All these things will be against you. All of my history that speaks to the fact that I am not that kind of person, and you go out into the world and say I'm that kind of person, nobody's going to fucking believe
you. Not only because of who I am, but because you're a woman.
Yeah. And you shall strangle. So notice the outstretched throat, right?
Mm-hmm.
That outstretched throat is going to be because you're hanging. You are going to hang for slandering a man of the law who's so upstanding as me. Calumny is slander. It's particularly making false accusations against someone to damage their reputation. Like, it's a very specific kind of slander, not general. I have begun, and now I give my sensual race the rein. Fit thy consent to my sharp appetite. Lay by all nicety and prolixious blushes that banish what they sue for. Redeem thy brother by yielding up thy body to my will, or else he must not only die the death, but thy unkindness shall his death draw out to lingering sufferance. Answer me tomorrow, or by the affection that now guides me most, I'll prove a tyrant to him. As for you, say what you can, my false or ways your true.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
What an antithesis to end with, right?
Yeah.
My false is more powerful than your truth. Take that. So we have all those, I have begun, and I cannot stop this train now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's on the way.
It's over, yeah. So we have consent and my sharp appetite. We've got fit your cunt to my dick.
Yeah.
Lay by all nicety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't be fastidious and sweet and proper. Fuck that. That shit is over.
And
now.
I know that you're a whore underneath that.
Yeah.
I know you are, because all women are. He's already said that.
He's already said it. Prolixious, incredible word. It means excessive or tiresome, but prolixious.
Mm-hmm.
Like delicious, right? That banish what they sue for. So those blushes have not convinced me that I should do this thing that you're asking.
Well, the reason you're blushing is because you want it as much as I do, and that's,
yeah.
I can see that in your face.
Yeah. So here's the, down and dirty. You can only save him by fucking me. That's it. But if you don't take this offer...
So now I've upped the ante.
Yeah. If you don't take this offer, I will torture him.
Right.
It's
to punish you.
It's gonna be ugly.
Yeah.
Right?
I won't just kill him.
Yeah.
I will draw it out.
Give me your answer tomorrow. So again, he's prolonging Claudio's stay by another day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me your answer tomorrow. Or by the affection that now guides me most, by this throbbing penis, I will screw him if I don't screw you.
Yep.
Prove a tyrant to him. You called me tyrant before. How do you like this? Here I am. This is me being a tyrant.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You want to see it, bitch? Here
it
is.
Here
and
it is.
He leaves.
And he leaves.
He's true.
Like, you think about that.
Say what you can, my false or ways, you're true.
And out he goes. And Isabella is left alone with the audience.
And she asks them, to whom should I complain? Did I tell this? Who would believe me? Oh, perilous mouths that bear in them one and the selfsame tongue, either of condemnation or proof, bidding the law make curtsy to their will, hooking both right and wrong to the appetite to follow as it draws. Let's stop there.
Okay.
So she's right. She's like, she looks at the audience and she's like, well, he's right. Who could I say this to? Who would believe me?
Right. And it's incredible because there are sitting are all the people that did see it, right?
The witnesses.
But could they say something? No.
And she knows.
It's an amazing moment for an audience member.
And
on, the, oh, perilous mouths.
Yeah, so that's
dangerous.
Like, yeah, like I think about like snakes.
Yeah.
Right. And she does. Say serpents later, doesn't she?
Maybe. But she does later, yeah.
But, oh, perilous mouths that bear in them one and the selfsame tongue, that's like forked tongues, like
yes.
Devils who speak out of both sides of their mouths.
Yep. They can speak against something or for it, you know, either way.
Right. And they take the law and they make it do what they want it to do. It's not like the Bible where you know
that's it.
That's
the word
it.
Is the word, yeah.
It, they can bend
the law
it.
Law is very equivocal.
Yes. Yeah.
But the word curtsy is great because it means bending over, right? Bending over and taking it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hooking both right, pulling in, right and wrong, gets sucked into the vortex of their argument or their desire, and it doesn't matter. They're not differentiated anymore.
Right.
Right and wrong don't matter.
It doesn't matter because you can make it look any way you want.
Yeah.
Out to my brother, though he hath fallen by prompture of the blood, yet hath he in him such a mind of honor that had he 20 heads to tender down on 20 bloody blocks, he'll yield them up before his sister should her body stoop to such abhorred pollution. Which, you know, that's, I don't know where she's getting that idea from.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, okay, kill me. It's fine.
I think she's convinced herself, of, you know, that he is going to protect her in some way, But wait.
That scene is still to come, and that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really
I don't
want
to spoil
one.
It. I was going to say, but we...
But I love that, you know, to follow as it draws, so she's made this determination about Angelo and his perception of the law, and then she's like, okay, on to the next man who's going to
save
do
me.
Something about this situation.
This one's going to save me.
Yeah.
And prompture.
Yeah, urging.
Urging.
Right?
Poking, of his penis.
Yeah. Prompture of the blood. Yeah, that's how he fell. You know, his penis said, do this thing, and he did it. But we have the word blood.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And honor is a line ending.
Yeah.
And I love 20 heads to tender down on 20 bloody blocks.
It's almost like Dr. Seuss.
It is. It feels like a nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it is almost. It's like an incantation in a way for her.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you have healed, yield.
Yeah.
So he, apostrophe LD, is he would. But I love that it's
healed, healed, yield them
took
up.
Took out all those letters to make it work. Yeah.
Healed,
before
yield
her,
them
her
up.
Body stoop, right? Again,
bend over
to such abhorred pollution.
And whore, abhorred.
Yeah. And then she's got 3 beats of silence, almost as if she's thinking about it. Will he? Will he? Hmm.
Yeah, right. Then Isabel... live chaste, and brother die. More than our brother is our chastity.
Wow. Wow.
But I don't even think she believes that. I don't.
But what about this our business?
Yes, she, well, she, this is the second time she's used
the royal pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's also like she's trying to make this a general fate for everyone. It's not just me. Right? I'm not just doing it just for me. I'm doing it for everyone. If it's not personal, then maybe it's better. It's not just me asking for this really unreasonable, crazy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell him yet of Angelo's request and fit his mind to death for his soul's rest.
Yeah. So she could have died. She could have finished with die and chastity.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a double. Because, yeah. Yeah. She's going to couch it back in the nunness. We're going back to the nunness. Mm-hmm. Chastity and then to fit his mind to death so that he can say his prayers and go to...
I'll go and take his confession because I'm almost a nun. It'll almost count.
And it doesn't. You know, both of them, both the Duke and Isabel...
Try to take his... Yeah.
And neither of them are supposed to.
Yeah.
They're breaking the rules.
Yep.
Yep.
But I'm going to save his soul if I cannot save his body. And that will be good enough. Oy, it's so self-righteous at the end here.
Yeah.
This is the place, I think these last four lines of this speech is where people go, Isabel is such an asshole. Right? Because she's so admirable in her mental jockeying otherwise. But then she gets to this place where she's absolutely unyielding on this point, and you're like, oh, come on.
But also, I mean, yes. Yes. I mean... Angelo's unyielding and she's unyielding.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
both unyielding. And,
yeah.
and I think that I think, well, I'm reading into it, but I think it feels like a matter of life and death to her personally, you know?
Yeah.
She doesn't want Claudio to die, but she doesn't want to die. And
yeah.
The idea of having sex feels like death to her and she can't
do
it.
So that's some deep trauma right there, man.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa. But I love this line, then Isabel lived chaste and brother died. That is measure for measure, right? Here are the two things against each other, and I choose this.
Mm-hmm.
I choose me. Me and my chastity. Well, you're going to live a long, cold life alone with your chastity. Boy, oh boy.
All right, well, there we go.
We leave you with that, and we will go off to the prison after this and see how those poor people are faring.
Well, we meet some interesting characters
in
the prison.
Yeah, we're going to see Claudio and see how he takes all this.
Also, it popped into my head, Lucio, Hail Virgin, if you be.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's the only time we talk about whether or not she is a virgin.
Right.
The assumption is she is, but she's not.
Yeah. Lucio's like, remember when we were in school, we played doctor? Did that count?
I'm Claudia's best friend.
Yeah.
I know things. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We are surmising,
but
But that's fun, too. And you're allowed to do that.
Sure, of course. I mean, look, if you're going to play the part, you got to understand why the character does what the character does when they do it.
Yeah.
I happen to love her, and I love how complex she is. And I know that, you know, there's no subtext in Shakespeare, but, you know, I'm an actress. I'm looking for shit.
Well, I think there doesn't have to be subtext. It's there. It's all on the page. You just, you know, depending on how you read it. How are you reading it? And that's why some people let the word incest just gloss by. And I'm like,
it's where
no.
it is in the play.
Can't do it.
Because it's like smack dab in the middle of the play.
Yeah, it really is.
I would like to.
Brother and sister scene.
Right.
You know?
I would like to find out how many lines come before it and how many lines come after it.
Okay, I'll do that.
You know, it'd be interesting. How equal is it?
Right.
Mm. How measure for measure is it?
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that challenge.
All right, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
This is Erin.
And what's my name again? Diana.
and this was
Fuck Shakespeare.
Fuck Shakespeare.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.